You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And remember, in your bulletin, you have a little notice regarding the nursery schedule, if you haven't seen it. And that's just to help make it workable, I hope. I hope it helps. If you have any question, see Mrs. Godwin or such. Thank you for that. Gospel of John, chapter 9. Look to God in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, it's your word. Your word. We've opened your word. Spirit of God, honor it. Help us understand. You were there. You were involved. And we are here. So, put the two together for us, and may we have the benefit. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, you would recall that the blind man from birth, that's important, he never had sight. And the blind man from birth was given in God's grace, as the Lord left the temple, etc., and the Jews are about to stone him, and the Jews are standing there with the stones in their hand, and he goes right through them, and out the temple, out the gate area, where the people begging and stuff are looking for help, and here is a blind man. He goes to the blind man, puts clay in his eyes and tells him to go to the pool of Siloam, which is just not far away, to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And that's what he did. And the man went. He never heard a word, never knew anything about the man who told him to do such things. All he knows is that the man put clay in his eyes and instructed him. And we shared together there would be no way on earth that you could be in the presence of when our Lord spoke, that you wouldn't know it. You know it was no ordinary person speaking to you, no matter what he said. Wow. So keeping that in mind, and he goes, and he has no words. The Lord never said anything except to go wash. And the man went home, understandably, got home, his sight, he saw his face in the water, first time ever, saw everything, colors, trees, birds, bugs, people, he saw all kinds of things, he saw himself, he saw all kinds of things, and it was a most wonderful, wonderful thing to have something so wonderful and marvelous happen to him. Now, so when he goes back, he's all excited, understandably, and marvelously. He wanted to go to see what his parents look like, to see what his friends look like. And he went. And he went back, as we shared together, to his neighbors, chapter 9, verse 8, etc. And he was all excited. Now, what we know is that the parents weren't too excited. Parents weren't too excited. And they had a problem. They had a problem with a miracle. A miracle like that. To have a blind man from birth have eyesight is unheard of. And therefore, the miracle is an awesome thing, to have that miracle. And to have it, is it bad, good, right, wrong, who did it? And they weren't enjoying, there's no record of them enjoying, this son could see them. They did not enjoy that. And they were afraid, verse 22, and they were afraid because the Jews, it was very well known that the Jews were out to get the Lord Jesus, stone him. In fact, they were just standing there to stone him. And anyone that got tied into the Lord's person and ministry, understanding who he was and honoring and believing in him, would be thrown out of the synagogue. So here they are, the parents aren't too happy, and the miracle's a wonderful thing. Miracles are, man falls 10 stories and just breaks his breaks a toe. Wow, wow. And that's a miracle. When the miracle is tied to God, in particular to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, that is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. So now, thus the world system being consistent, they were not happy. The family wasn't happy. The friends weren't happy. The enemies weren't happy. And they went, to the, they brought them to the Pharisees. And in the process of bringing him to the Pharisees, they found that they were not happy at all with it, understandably. And the blind man, in the process of coming and going in the Inquisition, the trial, back and forth, parents and him, all through chapter 9, and in coming and going, what did he discover? He discovered that he now who had sight, who didn't, he was talking to people who have sight, who can't see. He was talking to people who have sight, but they can't see. They're blind, spiritually, mentally blind. Wow. Now that was a wonderful thing for him to discover, because he's going to find out that he's going to understand that the one who gave me physical sight is a wonderful person. And I want to know that wonderful person in order to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to that wonderful person. That's what he's looking for. Now, so here's the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are blind, chapter 9 and verse 30. This man answered and said unto them, why herein is it a marvelous thing that you know not, the blind man who now sees, to the Pharisees, know not, the inquisitors, the cross-examining him, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened thine eyes? You certainly know, you certainly do. You just were going to stone him a little bit ago. Everyone knows, that's what the whole excitement is about. The Lord was there doing what he did in a most wonderful way, again, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and doing all of that in all of those days. It was a wonderful thing. So everyone was talking about him. So the Pharisees knew, they knew. And then to say in verse 30, we know not whence he is. We don't know where he is from, and that they've already quizzed him on such things, who he was and where he was from. So now, having seen all that, and thus in the process, the man has been given sight, and he is responding to that which he is given. He could have just sat there and said, what person ever asked me to stand up and go wash in the pool of Siloam? What person could ever say that? That's a stupid, foolish statement. But he never said that. He just arose. That's just a command. Go wash. That's what he did. And he saw. Do you know when we shared it in Sunday school a little bit? You got a John 3:16 or something? Somewhere, somehow, you read a Bible verse, see a Bible verse, see a truth. And you know what? God will honor that truth if you seek him with all your heart. And that's the real key. And God will put the pieces together that you need, that you're missing. And God will do that. And God does that, even though there's lacking. And God always knows when you're lacking. He knows our deficiencies. He knows we're of the dust of the ground. He knows we are as the flower of the field. He knows that. So now, just to hold your finger here a moment, and over with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. God knows, so you want to know. So God takes the little bit wherever we are, and God does what he does. If we follow through with it, and in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, going, if I can, for an illustration of many, verse 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He was limited, very, very, very limited, but boy, he used what he had. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And God, remember the disciples, remember chapter 10, etc.? The disciples of John, they didn't know anything about the Jesus Christ and his, they missed it. They knew John's baptism unto repentance. And God, you help them. You help anybody. Anybody that has a little bit going for them, that you want to know the truth. Do you want to see the light? Do you want to have the right? Do you want to get with it as you ought to? Now, hang on. So God does that in a most wonderful way. So now here are the parents, chapter 9 of John. And the parents are afraid. They aren't very helpful at all. And they're afraid. And they're afraid because of the synagogue, and we can do that very quickly just to see it. Over, if you would please, to chapter 12 of John. Hold your finger there, if you like. John chapter 12. Remember the synagogue, that was a big thing, to be excommunicated from the synagogue. You couldn't go to church, to say it our way. John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Why not? Lest they be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, they didn't want to lose their position. They didn't want to lose their privileges. And therefore, they yielded, because they knew if they said that, it would be contradictory to the system. And they didn't want to do that. And keep in mind also, so you know it, in applying it, if you would, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, people do, thank God for that. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and you can go try, and it's been done many times, you go and try to share that with your family, your parents, your friends. And in the process, they are very negative and very hostile sometimes. But they disown them. They say, you can't do that. You can't believe like that. You can't do that. You can't receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That isn't true. That isn't right. That's wrong. And people do that. And what do you know? Well, the believing heart is right in sharing it with their parents or anybody. But what do you know? If the parents were to agree with you, then they're saying they're wrong. What they believe isn't good enough and isn't right. And therefore, they can't afford to agree with you. Do you understand? If they agree with you, then they're condemning themselves. And you just said a marvelous thing. You could come to know the Lord as your personal Savior. And wow. I don't know that make-believe parents. I don't know the Lord is my Savior. I don't know that. I just go to church all the time, whatever. But I don't know that. I can't afford to agree with you without condemning myself. So now, here's the man going to the parents. And the parents were not there. They understood to be rejected by the Pharisees and their system was more critical than understanding and appreciating their sons having sight. So now, in the light of that, then you have the Pharisees. You have the man and the blind man sees, and the parents and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are there, and they, among other things, they think there's a collusion. In other words, the man has been sent by somebody to support and honor Jesus, and he's faking having sight. And he's faking it, and to give God credit so that the Pharisees would be in a tough place. But they said, no, they didn't honor the man at all. And false prophets, false miracles, they cross-examined him. They did. They weren't going to agree with him without honoring them. So therefore, in verse 24, remember, 9 and 24, then again called they the man again, that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So we know this man is a sinner. We know he is. That's right. And so you confess. You tell the truth. You're in front of us, like we'd say perhaps in court, used to be. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. They quizzed him, and they were straight, limited in what they said. But boy, they gave the inquisition to him, cross-examination to him, and you know what? He won. He keeps winning. They don't win. Now, that's what we want to look at. No matter what they did to contradict, to cut out, to eliminate the man's testimony, the man's reality, they couldn't eliminate the reality. Hang on. Hold your finger here a moment. And over to Acts chapter 4. Acts in chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, picking up please, if I can, in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved, these are the apostles, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And that's the resurrection from the dead. Now that's a debatable thing and an unheard of thing at this point in history. And here they are sitting there. There is no such thing. There isn't possible, etc., etc. The Sadducees and then the Pharisees on the other side of the coin. And they're there. But here are these plain fishermen, tax collectors. They're nobodies. And they're nobodies that had something wonderful happen to them. They came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, over to chapter 4 and in verse 7. And when they sat them down in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. In other words, you want to know, just like the blind man, what happened? Sliding down, then, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And verse 13, now when they saw the boldness, they didn't mess around. Peter, James, John, Thomas, you guys didn't mess around. No, we didn't. But these are the teachers. These are the big wheels. This is the Supreme Court. Who are you to tell them anything? Aha! They have not had the wonderful healing of their soul. Like the blind man, they have not been given sight. Now, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow. So that's the thing. Wow. You guys are associated with the Christ, the Son of God. That's correct. Ah. Now that helps because that fellow, that man that we don't understand and we don't believe, he is something else. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back over to John chapter 9. The man's going to go and help them. Just like in Acts chapter 4. They couldn't refute the resurrection. They couldn't refute it. Hang on to that. And how are you going to say that something wonderful happened to them? It did. But they didn't see it. They didn't understand it. John chapter 9, picking up please. In verse 30, this man answered, the blind man, and said unto them, the Pharisees, why herein is a marvelous thing, marvelous, wonderful, to look, the verb to look on, to look at with understanding and amazement. Why herein is a marvelous thing that you know, you do know, that you know, from whence you know not from whence he is. And yet, he hath opened mine eyes. And we said earlier, They had to know. That's what the whole problem was. If this man did that, and he does so many things, and they're all upset and trying to get him, and they are unable to trap our Lord, trick our Lord. They can't do it. How does darkness capture light? If we have a big pile of darkness and we throw it on top of light, throw it on top of the candle, pile of darkness, can the darkness do anything to the light? No. No. The Jesus Christ is the light of the world, as we read in John 8. Now, so it's a marvelous thing that he has opened mine eyes, and you don't know who it is. Now, that was a thing you'd have to understand. He was really taking it to him. He says, you guys don't, and you dare say that to me, that you don't know him. Now, what are you going to do, Mr. Blind Man that sees? I'm going to help them. I'm going to do, over if you would, to John chapter 9, John 9, 16. Remember, in the confrontation in and out of the parents and the blind man, and here with the blind man, John 9, 16. Therefore, these are the Pharisees, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day, that's our Lord, and the healing was done on the Sabbath day. Others said, verse 16, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So here's some of the Pharisees in the court trial, as it were, the cross-examination of the blind man. The blind man standing there. And some of them, they're talking to each other. Some of them said, he's a sinner, and he broke the Sabbath. The others said, he may have broken the Sabbath, but no one can do that kind of miracle and be a sinner. How can you do those miracles and be a sinner? Now, that's what they said. And then here's the debate, left side, right side. So they turn around and ask the blind man standing there, verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And they wanted the blind man's opinion now. That he hath opened thine eyes. And the blind man replied, he said, he is a prophet. He said, I can tell you that much. No one can do what he does except a man be at least a prophet, someone that has a straight contact with God to be able to speak for God and do miracles. Only a prophet could do that, like Elijah and Elisha, etc. Now we come back over to, he's already had this thing in the room before that with the Pharisees. So now his argument. How does he finish his argument? Chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know, including them, now we know that God heareth not sinners. That's one whole group of them said, that God heareth not sinners. They said that. Uh-huh. God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper, a God-fearer, God-fearer, and doeth his will, him he heareth. So if any man will do his will, and he hears. Now remember, in all of it, in the discussion that's going to take place, God hears, in present tense, and sinners has to do with the word to miss the mark, to transgress, to fall out of the way, to miss the way. Sin is a quality. So now, he's a sinner. If any man, verse 31, worship God and hear and that God know that God doesn't hear sinners. God doesn't hear sinners, to say it that way. God just doesn't hear sinners. That's what we know. We know that. God doesn't hear sinners. Do they know that? Oh, sure they know that. Even this blind man picked it up in his life, sitting there by the gate, begging and at home, I'm sure. And in the process, so God, are you obligated? Are you obligated to answer prayers of sinners? No, I'm not. Petitions? No, I'm not. You know everything. You know every thought of every person. that ever was, ever will be created? You know it before they were ever born. That's correct. That's correct. You know that. So now, what did you Pharisees know? What did you Pharisees know? What could you have known? So we're going to just take a little quick jaunt. Make believe you're a Pharisee. What would you know? If you were the blind man, your blind man is using as an argument sinners. God doesn't hear sinners. If God answered the prayer, he can't be a sinner. Now, over if you would please, Job. There's all kinds of places. I'm just going to pick a couple. Just enough to get the flavor of it. Job, if I can, and in chapter 35, Elihu's speaking, chapter 35, verse 10. What did they know back then? But none saith, where is God thy maker, my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beast of the field, of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. We are more than a bird, more than a bug. Verse 12. There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. He will not regard it. Wow. Proverbs, he will not regard. Boy, you Pharisees, blind man, that's under our understanding. God doesn't hear such things. Over, if you would, to, if in your Bible. Over, if you would, to Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 1. And they surely would have known this, too. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27. Our Lord, looking at the unbelief of people that don't believe. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your commandments. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, verse 27, as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they have hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hate knowledge. They don't want to know me, said God. Verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They wouldn't pay attention to my word. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So, God, people, if they aren't going to get along with you, when they hate you, and they don't want you, and they don't want to know you, then you don't have to answer them. We know God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. No. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. Chapter 15. And you will notice Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So here we are. We understand God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. He doesn't do that. No, no, it doesn't seem to do that. No. Now keep going. Back over if you would. You know what? Psalm 66. Psalm 66, please. And you might even quote it. Psalm 66. And in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. So God, you aren't going to hear. So I can say a whole lot of things. You aren't going to hear. You aren't going to answer. No. Over, if you would, please, it'll help us. Over in, while you're in Proverbs, I'll do the other side of the coin just for a moment, because you aren't far away. Psalm 145. It's true. God doesn't hear the prayer, wow, of sinners that do iniquity. He isn't obligated whatsoever. So here in Psalm 145, picking up, please, if I can, in 145 and in verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Wow. So God, you're going to do that. Verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. So if I was reading the Bible, I'd say, well, boy, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners, it seems. And you got to put it together. But God does hear. God just doesn't answer. God isn't that God doesn't know. Now, over, if you would, to Micah. Micah chapter 4. If you think of Jonah, then you'll find Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, verse 4. Directly you'll catch the flavor of it. Then shall they cry, Micah 3, 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. God, they just aren't going to pay attention. God doesn't hear sinners. Now, we're ready. The Pharisees, people would know. This is what their thinking is. Over, if you would, John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, picking up, please. I'll read verse 31 again. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any, they may or may not. If any man be a worshipper of God, a God-fearer, he may or may not be, and doeth his will, is going to do his will, him, that person doing God's will, God hears that person. And you remember, without turning there, of Cornelius in chapter 10. Cornelius was there. He was he's a God-fearer. His whole family and servants know he's a God-fearer. And he prays and worships God. He doesn't know him, but he looks to God. He's seeking God. That's correct. And you know what? God reaches him. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 31, God heard his prayers. A God-fearer looking to know God, God heard his prayers. That's it. Now, John 9 again. If any man will do his will, verse 31, him God hears. And here's the illustration as we shared. You know in James, without turning there, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yep. So God, if we look to you rightly, if we seek you with all our heart, we'll find you. That's correct. Now, here's the blind man again, using his simple, wonderful, factual logic. He isn't using any tricks. He's using straight, simple logic. He is objective in his analysis and his understanding. He is not subjective how he feels. He's objective on the reality of things around him. Now, so here we go now to verse 32. Verse 32, and he continues. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Since the very beginning of everything, who has ever heard, who has ever been talked about someone, not blind people being given sight, but people that were born blind, never had eyes to see, never had them. Who ever heard of such things? And it was something that was not very common, not very much anticipated or expected. Never heard, not anyone opened the eyes of the of one born blind. No. And it requires, in order to open the eyes of one born blind, said the blind man that now sees, it would take one miracle. Not just a regular miracle. It would take a super-duper miracle. And who can do super-duper miracles except God? God, you alone can do super-duper miracles. That's correct. Only God can. And the blind man, that's the blind man said, verse 32, that any man opened the eyes of one born blind. So here he is, and he has this. And so therefore this man has to have one special relationship to God. Whoever this man is, I don't know him yet. Whoever this man is, he has one special relationship to God, so much so, wow. And I think about it, he's more than a prophet. Aha. Verse 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. It's a second class condition, that is. It isn't true. If the man is of God. It isn't that he's not of God. On the contrary, he is of God. He has to be of God to do the miracle. Thus, this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He could not nothing. The word nothing, not, and then even one. Not even one. Not one. Nothing. None. How many? Nothing. He could do nothing. There's no way on earth anyone could do such things apart from God. No way it would happen. Not from God. But he is from God. And he did it. He did it. He really did it. And he is from God. And remember in John, we'll turn there, well, very quickly, just over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And you will remember with Nicodemus, without doing enough just to get the flavor of it, they all knew that. John chapter 3, verse 2. Then came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's impossible. And as you keep reading, he's going to keep telling you. There's no way that Jesus could be who he is and do what he does except he's from God. That's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John. He's from God. That's the point. The Jews don't want to think about him from God without condemning themselves. They'd condemn themselves. If they agree he's the Messiah, then their Judaism, their Judaistic system is down. You can't use it. The Mishnah, the Gemara, you can't use them. You're going to have to go back to the book. And they can't do that. And so God, you gave us, last living apostle, you gave us so that we'd understand. If we're looking for the Jews to back up your scripture, your word, your person? No. Are we looking for the Gentiles to back up your word, the scripture? No, the Gentiles aren't going to do it. The world wants nothing to do with you, God. The world system excludes you totally from the system. Therefore the man came and presented. He could do nothing. He could absolutely do nothing. Now their reaction. And you'll notice, please, in their reaction, picking up, please, they answered and said unto him, verse 34, Thou wast altogether born in sin. The word altogether means holy, holy. You are a complete sinner. You are a complete sinner. And you remember when we started John chapter 9, over to chapter 9, verse 2, what did they say about this man? The disciples asked him about the blind man, and his disciples asked him, what was their theological thinking? Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So remember, we had pre-creation, and then you're a person when you're in a cell, 2 cells, 10 cells, 1,000 cells, and then the parents. So did he do it when he was developing? The 10 cells, 20 cells, 100 cells. Which cell made him a sinner? Which cell made him a sinner? Wow. Or was it his parents? His parents must have made him a sinner. The only way he can be born blind is because of sin. And that's what they said in chapter 9, verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born blind. You are holy, holy, completely. You're there. You must be. And therefore, in the process of that, thou wast altogether born in sin completely. And to add to that, they totally said, you are one sinner from head to toe, from start to the moment you're standing in front of us. You are one solid sinner. No doubts about it. Now, the blind man. The blind man has used wonderful logic and very simple. Now, and what did they do? Well, verse 34, dost thou teach us? Who are you to teach us? We are the Pharisees. We're the professors. And here you are, like Acts 4, fishermen and ignorant, unlearned men, and you're trying to tell us that how to answer and understand the resurrection, the living Christ? Who are you to tell us such things? See? And they're all upset. Boy, are they upset. In fact, they're so upset. Who do you think you are teaching us? Do you ever hear that? Who are you to tell me? See? I feel such and such. And you say, who are you to tell me that? See? Well, hang on. So now, and what did they do? The end of verse 34. They cast him out. They literally threw him out. He's standing in their presence. How many we don't know, Pharisees, and the guards and the other people, and they literally threw him out from their presence. They threw him out the door. They threw him out the door. Hang on to that. Now, so, and God, do you know that? Oh, he doesn't. We'll pick it up next time. But, would you please notice now what his argument was? He said, very simply and factually, I want you to know that Jesus, this person, Jesus, whoever his name is, did a most marvelous, wonderful miracle. I want you to know that this miracle required a special relationship to God. And this man has to have a special relationship to God for God to do such things. And I want you to remember now when he was there being his blindness, did Jesus pray? No. Did anyone pray? All Jesus said is, he didn't say a thing. He just put the clay over the eyes and said, go wash. No prayer, nothing. No, nothing at all. Just go. Wow. Now, in the light of that, so in order to have that special relationship, now God, for such a miracle, you have to have a relationship to God. And God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. He's not obligated to do them. And therefore what? He must be of God. You agree. And they had no way to answer the argument because they agreed. They agreed. He hears not prayers of sinners. And it's a super miracle. So you Pharisees are stuck. They're stuck. They're stuck. So what did they do with our Lord? John chapter 8. And verse 58, I am that I am. And what did they do? Verse 59, they took up stones to stone him. What are you going to do with this man? You can't answer him. He's right. He used our own arguments. He uses the argument of Scripture. We couldn't do a thing. So we threw him out. That's what we did. Now, we threw him out of our sight. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John 6, if I may, in verse 37, remember as we studied it, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him, the whosoever that will come to me, I will in no wise is double, absolutely not, positively not, I will in no wise cast him out. He's been cast out by the Pharisees. Jesus Christ said, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. The Pharisees cast him out. Jesus Christ took him in. Now, application. We know what? Well, we know what is the greatest testimony now in the world of a person. The person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we know? Why do we know that? Because of all the things that the church, what are we supposed to be doing as believers? We're supposed to be evidencing by walking and having the newness of life. We're supposed to be evidencing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Our whole ministry, it isn't about school. It isn't about anything. It isn't about a program. It isn't about the world. It's about Jesus Christ is God. He has risen from the dead. And the evidence of his resurrection is you. You are the evidence of a what? An empty tomb. How do we answer an empty tomb? All right. An empty tomb. Who else on earth? Muhammad? Buddha? No. Forget Buddha. No, there's no way. No one. Find somebody that rose again. And there isn't anybody. So I got to find somebody. I'm going to use straight logic. What am I going to do? I'm looking for help. Here I am on planet Earth in a nationally, global, troubled world, heading for great trouble indeed. Now what am I going to do? I need somebody. It isn't going to be Washington. Oh, it isn't going to be the medical system. Where's it going to be? I'm going to have to find somebody. My husband, my wife, my father, my work, my home, my religion. No, none of that's going to do anything. I need somebody that has authority. Who am I going to find? Only one. Lord, that's you. Now, then I go and look. And I look, and you go in Matthew. Why not? Over in Matthew. Matthew 27. In fact, if you go that far and bear with me, chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16 and 21. From that time forth began Jesus 16 and 21 to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. He already told them. Now, chapter 27. After the resurrection, when the crucifixion, they put him in the tomb. Now, what did the unsaved Jews, the Pharisees, etc., what did they say? Verse 63, 27, 63, Matthew, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last arrow shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, a guard, go your way, make it sure as you can. They sealed it and guarded, the soldiers guarded. And so, verse 66, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, setting a watch, sliding down if I can. Chapter 28, and in verse 6, he is not here. Remember, they came and looked in the tomb. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. God, here we are. God, I don't know. If I have to find somebody, and I do, there's only one person that stands out in all of humanity, and that's you. You have risen again from the dead. The crucifixion, understandably. The resurrection, understandably, but we don't answer it. We don't even talk about it. We don't even speak about it. We don't even think about it. Why not? Because we can't answer it. We can't answer. And we don't want to honor that man. Therefore, we deny. But, as a blind that has been given sight, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wow. You are who you are. So I'm not mistaken, God, and I'm not in error when I put my trust in your wonderful person, one who has risen from the dead. And that's called the gospel. The gospel according to the scriptures. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again according to the scriptures. I believe in the scriptures that speak of a wonderful Savior who has verified and authorized all our belief by rising again from the dead. Wow. Blind man, you win. They lose. The world loses. The Jews are presently losing. You need to believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God. Thomas, reach your hand out and thrust it into my side. See my hands. Oh, Thomas, no. You, as I said 100,000 times, you and I, as Thomas, we would have never done it. As he stood there in the upper room that night after his resurrection. And Thomas is going to say, my Lord and my God. And the Lord is going to say, blessed Thomas are those that will never see me and that believe. They are blessed as they honor my word and honor who I am. I have risen again. So there's no question of the right person to be trusted for the right reasons to have everything come out just right. He's the right one. The blind man has his sight, but it is more important that he has a spiritual sight. And the dear people that had sight are blind, and he saw that. It's more important to see with your heart than it is with your eyes. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with us a little bit. Thank you. Thank you, our God, very much. Help us. And our God will look to you to deal with us in your grace and mercy. Thank you for being always and forever who you are. You can be nothing less, no one less. God, honor, it's yours. God, who can take away from you who you really are? All we can do is honor you and experience and be able to say, I was blind, but now I see. And everyone will have to try to talk me out of it and make me deny it. But God, it is real and it is sure and it is set in cement, eternal cement, that you have risen again and that he that cometh to you, you will in no wise cast out. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may like to turn in your Bible, if you would. If you turn to page 3548 in your Bible, I don't...